Welcome to the Unscripted SEO Interview Podcast. Yes, it's 100% unscripted, 100% unrehearsed, 100% unedited, and 100% real. I'm your host, Mark A. Preston. And today, I want my guests to introduce themselves just so I don't look stupid and totally pronounce their name wrong. Hello.
Hey, Mark. So I'm a Perva Bose, but I go by AB just because it's a lot easier for people to pronounce. I am the vice president of a fast-growing digital marketing agency in Chicagoland area called Overtake Digital. We do a lot of mortgage marketing for digital marketing for mortgage companies and automotive. Outside of that, I'm a huge Arsenal fan. One of my bucket lists was to watch Arsenal play at the Emirates. I got to accomplish that the last time I was in the UK. So I have a 14-month-old son that is the pride and joy of me and my wife that we kind of just dote over right now and spend all our free time catering to. But outside of that, yeah, I'm just a regular guy who enjoys digital marketing. I'm very passionate about SEO paid search side of things and kind of the whole integrated marketing approach than to just split up about it.
That's wonderful to hear. Now, just for people listening and watching this podcast who doesn't know who you are or has never seen you before, could you give us a bit of a tour of when it was you started in the industry, what you were doing then, and your journey from then to now?
Yeah. So it's been a long journey. So I am first-gen immigrant to the U.S. I came here for, my post-grad degree. I got an MBA. When I graduated, we had the 2008 meltdown. And so I went for my master's. And when I came out, I got a job as an intern for a digital marketing agency that did insurance and a lot of different types of insurance. So that was my first foray into it. It was a funny story because part of my graduation, I needed to have certain number of hours as, as kind of an intern and work experience. So SEO at that time was just kind of starting out a decade ago. And, they were the only ones that had paid internships. So I was like, I get paid to go to work. Why not? That's how I got my first step into the door. I was hired as a content writing intern. And I kind of enjoyed that. I learned a lot about, how nuanced you have to be, how to talk to people, how to localize content around people and their and the areas they're located in and the cultures and what they want to talk about. But I always had that penchant for learning more, and I kind of wanted to get more into the technical side of SEO. So luckily for the internship, I got a chance to kind of learn a little bit more about the technical side of things. Once I completed that internship, I realized that was something I wanted to do. And I have been fairly lucky in my career so far by taking risks. Obviously the internship, my first job, I was hired as a digital marketing strategist. In the US here, there's a lot of opportunity to do multifaceted, multi-channel approach. So I was lucky enough where I was given a chance to kind of create the Facebook marketing campaign and kind of build from that. And honestly, it was all self-taught. I didn't go to any seminars. I didn't know a whole lot about Facebook advertising at that time. I kind of like failed a lot, succeeded in some. And that's how I kind of, have grown. I've always wanted to try different things. I've always had an interest in how I could do better for my clients, but also utilizing all the resources and avenues that are available. One of the good things that I see now, having been in the industry for so long, is that there's a lot more resources available than when I started. There were only a few places where you could get information, like the Moz Whiteboard Fridays. You had the Search Engine Journal, you had the Search Engine Lands. So those were the only kind of, opportunities there were. I learned a lot from people on Twitter. Obviously, I don't I don't talk a lot on Twitter, but I follow quite a few people that are very knowledgeable. And I don't say I'm the best or an expert at anything. I've utilized and learned from other people and kind of help bring that in to for my clients, but also like for myself to kind of get a broader understanding and different perspective on how marketing, digital marketing works.
That's great. Now, you mentioned there that you failed at something. Now, That is, for anyone listening, that is perfectly fine. Mm-hmm. I mean, find me a digital marketer that hasn't failed at something.
Yes.
Because it's those failures that allow you to learn and progress. Obviously, As long as they're not very costly failures, you know, for other people. But I just want to point out that, you know, it's not about just, yes, we're doing all this great stuff, because, you know, myself, I've made a lot of money and I've lost a lot of money, but by making different decisions. But it's using all that collective knowledge to progress, because if you don't try something new, you have an idea, you don't know if it's going to work or not. As long as it doesn't have a negative impact into the businesses you're working with, you know.
Yep.
But, you know, moving on from that, now, in the whole SEO arena, where would you say you fit? Because it's multi-channel, multi-facet, multi-dimensional. Where would you say you fit into it all?
So I would say, like, I have a lot of, like, you know, starting out in content writing, I have a lot of background in kind of storytelling and the content writing side of things. But a lot of my experiences have been around, obviously, we do some, you know, international businesses, but a lot of knowledge and expertise that I bring about are on the local side of things, where, you know, kind of updating your listings, your NAPs, how to kind of generate organic backlinks, not necessarily buying them, but kind of doing collaboration with offline businesses in your area, doing multi-partnership advertising. So kind of getting that local focus for my clients.
Right. So when it comes to content and local, I see so many people getting this wrong. You know, I see so many businesses that, you know, start off, local businesses start blogging. And literally, next thing you know, they're generating all this traffic, but only like 2% of the traffic could ever turn into business. You know, so when it comes to writing content for a local business, what should SEOs be thinking about to make it localized and target the right people that will turn into business?
So honestly, it obviously depends on the amount of time you spend on research. One of the things, and again, in business, you don't have unlimited time where you can just kind of sit under a tree and do research like Newton did with apples. You know, it's one of those things that you have to kind of over time learn how to optimize the research you're trying to do. One of the things that I feel a good point that you brought up is a lot of people have been sold on you have to continue to blog. And a lot of times that may not necessarily be right for your business. So understanding that there are some things that, you know, work for your niche, for your industry, but keeping in mind who your target audience is, not trying to be generic or using or trying to, like, you know, cast a wider net. You have to be very specific on who you're targeting to. The more you can kind of tie it down to obviously the geo, but to your audience is where you win. It's that sweet spot where you don't want to be too specific, where you're only getting one or two people visiting the website, to where you're getting 2 million, right? You want to be in that sweet spot where it's in the middle. This is the audience that you know is going to convert over time or is finding value in the information you're sending. That is kind of the goal that I go in with. The first time when I'm trying to kind of create a brief or trying to write a blog for a client, albeit I don't get to do that as much as I did in my earlier earlier career, but it's just kind of understanding that you want to, one, do in-depth research on what you're trying to achieve, what is the goal for the purpose of the blog, and two, who is your target audience, you know, understanding what they like to do. It could be a mix of persona and the second and the research that you've done, but it has to kind of be something that's going to bring value. End of the day, when I go talk to my clients, I can't tell them that, oh, your traffic's up 50%, right? That sounds great, but he's going to be like, well, I've sold nobody, you know, or I've been stagnant. So it's kind of tying it into the return on investment for the business. A lot of small businesses are, you know, kind of cost cutting as far as other resources to be able to pay a digital marketer or kind of hire a marketing agency because they're very small. So you have to kind of make sure that anytime you are trying to be local with your content, you're being specific in what you're trying to achieve and you have clear goals.
Yeah, that's what you were saying there is really does ring true because a lot of people in the industry, I see them challenging the thought of these small businesses only having a minor budget. You know, what are they playing at? What's going on? But they don't understand the reality of the business. As you said, like literally, I've had small businesses come to me, local businesses, saying, look, okay, I'm going to trust you with this, but it means that paying you, I can't do this over here.
Yep.
So, and that's the reality. I mean, you know, it's okay for these big brands throwing money everywhere. But when you're working with local, smaller businesses, you have to really understand that everything you're doing has to create a positive impact.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, it's just kind of realizing that, you know, the good point that you brought up is people always have that, oh, well, if it's going to be not enough money, then I'm not going to try as hard. But it's, you know, you got to think of it in a context of this person also has a family, right? The business owner, 9 times out of 10, is a sole proprietor, is one of maybe single income, or, you know, is supporting his family on this business. For them to be able to trust you with money that they don't necessarily have, to be able to budget that, you want to get wins for them. And a lot of times it is tying it back into return on investment. You know, end of the day, we could tell them their traffic's up, they're ranking one on, you know, in the first place on Google, if that even exists anymore. But if they're not getting sales, or if it's not directly tied into some sort of kind of a hard figure, it's useless to them. You know, for them, it's like, well, if I'm not selling anything, if I'm not getting any return on this investment, it might just be better off I use that money internally or for something else that might help my business more. So, you know, you have to kind of put yourself in the shoes of your client. You have to understand working with big budgets is a lot of fun. There's a lot of, you know, perks that come with, but, you know, the small businesses and winning for them and helping them succeed is one of like the most fascinating things. And something that I really cherish when, you know, whenever we have results like that for small businesses.
Yeah, I have over the years loved working with the unknown brands. I call it turning the unknown brands into known brands within their industry area.
Yeah.
And that's the way I approach it, you know, because it gets you thinking more as a marketer and as an SEO, but putting the business perspective on things and understanding the challenges that that business is facing. You know, what's the impact to that business if this doesn't work? And like you say, putting leads and sales as the priority rather than rankings and traffic.
Yep. Yeah, you're so right. It totally is. I mean, end of the day, they want hard figures. Small businesses, like you said, it's making unknown brands known. It is a challenge that when you succeed, it feel like you're elated. I mean, there's nothing like it. It's kind of like winning Premier League, so to speak, or kind of seeing the smile on, you know, a business owner's face that they're now seeing return on the labor that you put in for them. You know, got them results. They're doing well. now they might have more budget to spend. You know, it's not like one of those things where small businesses don't want to spend budget. 9 times out of 10, they just don't have enough budget to kind of increase it unless they kind of see an increase in sales where they can kind of push more towards marketing to get more sales. So, yeah.
Yeah, I see this as like a partnership, you're part of the business and mm-hmm. you're helping them to grow. But in order to do that, it's like stairs, you know, mm-hmm. you know, rather than going in pitching up at the top of the stairs, let's gradually work with them. And yep. when we generate enough profit in the business, we can then move the budget up the stairs and mm-hmm. work in line with their business goals. And that's how I've always seen it working with these smaller models. But I hear a lot of people just going in like pitching, yes, we can take over the world. It's going to cost, mm-hmm. you know, 50 grand. It's going to blah, 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 without actually understanding the business challenges first. Yep. And I think them initial conversations are so important. So from your perspective, if you have a new potential client, what's those early conversations like for you?
So kind of understanding where they are as far as metrics. And I don't mean just like, oh, we're ranking one. It's more so like, how many units do you normally sell? What's your best month like, right? How much are you spending right now on your advertising, on your paid search side of things? Because that's where a lot of budget constraints come in as well. Understanding who their competitors are from their mouth. We typically follow an onboarding document, which I know everybody does. All businesses have that now, but kind of sitting with them, understanding what they're trying to achieve, 6 months, 3 months, 6 months, 12 months from now. What are the goals? What are the benchmarks that we're trying to achieve? This is the best time to kind of be frank with your client, because a lot of times clients may have an absurd number in their mind that they think is very achievable. And in reality, that might not be the case looking at the lay of the land, right? So having frank conversation, I think that for a lot of SEOs and digital marketing and marketers in general, that's a tough contention because nobody wants to be somebody that tempers a new client's expectation. But the problem is, if you don't do that now, and if they don't see the results in their mind of what they were supposed to get, that business is bound, like the partnership is bound to fail. Like, you're not going to see any results. Even if you do well, they're not going to be happy because they weren't, their expectation was to get 100 sales, whereas, 25 is where the market is averaging at. One of the things that we try to also understand is, seeing where they want to kind of grow. Obviously, this is done through research, but also from them, kind of hearing from where do they see a lot of their traffic coming in. If they list like 5 cities that they are targeting and they're getting a lot of traffic from. But out of the 5, 4 of them are fantastic as far as, sales, but one of them isn't. Now you have kind of a sore spot for the client. So you want to kind of jump in after your conversation, deep dive, kind of look into why there isn't enough sales. What is the demographic like? Are we trying to push a number that these people cannot achieve as far as putting for the product, or are we trying to not market them correctly? Not using a tone or language that kind of appeals to them. So the initial conversations that I typically end up having is around those things, just understanding what their expectations are. Where do they see themselves in 3 months? If the expectations that I believe are too far off or too far in the sky, I have to kind of temper it down. Being honest with them, letting them know that, hey, this is what we can do. Here's what we can achieve. And when you're upfront and honest with somebody, they appreciate that. And if they can do business with you based on that, then one, it wasn't meant to be, and you kind of lucked out. Instead of having a client that is harassing you for the, every day of the week, where you're just like, oh, I wish I didn't have this client. On the flip side, it's easier for me to say that, because when you're an independent SEO consultant or starting out in consulting and a one person army, money is money. It's hard to say that, but it's honestly, I believe that sometimes you have to just bite the bullet and be upfront with people before you get into any agreements, because it's where the business relation starts. It's bound to succeed or fail based on that initial conversation. And over my career, I've had gut instincts with some clients when I sat in that meeting and, you know, didn't speak up. I understood that this was going to be something that we're going to 3 months down the line have a problem with. And, you know, lo and behold, they're like, yeah, it's not working out because we weren't honest with them. So it's just something that I've learned doing more so now than, you know, when I first started out, because I wanted to be like, yeah, we can do that. Yeah, you know, it's fantastic. I'll get you number one or whatever ranking. And you could, but are they really converting? Are those pages converting? They're expecting 120 leads a month. Is that even realistic in that industry? You know, if it's a B2B, you might see maybe like 5, 10, 20 leads in a good month, depending on the type of industry it is. And if they're under expectation that, oh, I should be getting 50 leads, that's not realistic. So just being honest with them.
Yeah, I do think honesty is the best policy, mm-hmm. you know, over the years, because they might not initially like what you're saying to them, mm-hmm. but as long as you explain and justify why you're mm-hmm. saying this, so mm-hmm. they understand, not just saying, no, you're full of rubbish, it's not going to happen, but say, look, you know, if we put it in this way, you know, like, it's not possible to get that many sales because there's not that many people mm-hmm. in your city that are looking for what you provide.
Yeah.
You know, explain it like that. And I think a lot of this comes down to soft skills, you know, communication. Yeah. And I think over the years, I've trained a lot of people in the SEO industry around how to say things and what to say in what manner. And I think at the end of the day, it's just an honest conversation between two people, but in a respectful way.
Yep. And again, like it's like you said, with the respectful side of things, you gotta, when you go into these conversations, you really have to be in the back of mind, you have to know that this isn't personal. You're just, you know, if they don't like it, they'll let you know. If they like it, you know, they'll continue on. But you're right, soft skill is one of the biggest keys that I feel is missing in digital marketing, because we're so about online marketing, you know, getting results online, not having to talk to people in person. You know, a lot of SEOs don't have that client-facing role. You know, they're typically just on the back end doing a lot of things, which, again, you need people to do that. But if you're a consultant, or if you're thinking about getting into consulting, or if you want to move up into the company you're in, you want to get into the manager, director level roles, you have to have soft skill, because, you know, your role shifts a lot from doing to more so explaining the strategy, kind of understanding the business, being able to relate to somebody and not using tech speak. I think a lot of times people in our industry especially get kind of caught up with using jargons and terms that a regular person, you got to think of it in a way is that, can my local pub guy understand what I'm trying to tell him, you know, without using buzzwords? Can I explain accurately what the issue is in layman's term? That is the key to success. Like, if you can talk to somebody that doesn't have a whole lot of digital knowledge, because 9 times out of 10 business owners aren't, you know, they understand digital marketing is important, but they don't really understand the terminology behind them. You know, they may understand the frequently used terms of, you know, ranking number one, things like that. But sometimes you just have to be really plain, simple English, explaining to them that, hey, you know, this is something that I think may happen or may not happen. But using that, you know, kind of being able to relate to them is where I see a lot of people dropping the ball, because you're so caught up in the way you talk to people that you don't understand that you can't talk to everybody the same way. Your audience changes. It's the same with content writing. You know, you can't write the same content for everybody. It's got to be specific to who you're trying to target to. So just keeping that in mind.
Yeah. And I think it's a lot of time, it's finding something. I think for me, It's about going in and asking questions to pick mm-hmm. up on something. Like you said, yourself, you're an avid Arsenal fan, yes?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that is a trigger then, you know?
Yes.
So how can you turn that into a conversation that relates to what you're doing, you know, mm-hmm. that they can explain, like, I'm massive into F1. You know,
mm-hmm.
so if somebody come to me and explains it like, you know, are you, you know, one of the top teams or are you yeah. ones just trying to progress, you know, yep. and that for me, I can picture it. I can relate to it.
Yep.
And these are the sort of things I try and find in everybody. What is the one thing? Because there's always something in real life
mm-hmm.
that you can relate to what yep. you're trying to explain. And once you get that, it's, yes, I get it now.
Mm-hmm.
If you go in and say, oh, well, you know, the canonical tags and 404s and blah, 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 you know, yeah. it just confuses the heck out of them.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, end of the day, not everybody is well-versed with digital marketing. You're, so to speak, the expert, right? So you have to kind of understand. You want to relate to your audience, you know, speaking in those tech terminology in conferences is fantastic because your audience is already well aware of, you know, SEO and what goes in. They may not understand how canonical tags work as well, but, you know, that's why they're at conferences. A person that's a plumber or a small business that does welding is not going to know all of these things, nor are they going to care or have enough time to learn that, right? Their goal is like, can you help me get sales? Can my business increase, you know, our revenue in the next 3 months? That's about it. So how do you do that? To your point, yeah, relating it to people's interest or kind of their business or the way their industry works is a fantastic way to start. I mean, just shows, you know, it kind of touches your client as well because it just, you know, it just shows that you're taking a keen interest in their business and you're not just going to put something that's copy-pasted back. That's kind of a templated content piece that you use for 10 of the same clients in the industry.
Yeah. Now, when you was introducing yourself, you mentioned mm-hmm. local link building.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm very interested in getting more in-depth into this.
Sure.
Because obviously the whole link building topic is a bit crazy anyway. But
yeah.
for local businesses themselves, when it comes to link building or, you know, building relationships or whatever, how do you go about it? How should an SEO working for a local business go about?
So a lot of times, you know, the way we've found out and for our clients, the success we've seen is that 9 times out of 10, they're part of the Chamber of Commerce and nobody, you know, of their local Chamber and Commerce. And they typically have a .gov URL, right? It carries a lot of authority, at least in the state side. Just if you're already a member, just reaching out to them and being like, hey, you know, we're part of this membership. We've attended these programs, but you've not listed us, or can you list my business name on, you know, partners, or, you know, if they've listed it, but there isn't a link, can you link back to my website? The second thing that I've personally seen a lot of success with is kind of joint partnership, joint advertising sort of a thing where, you know, you reach out to businesses that aren't exactly the same as yours, but are in the wider industry. So for example, a fitness, a gym, right? A local gym can now partner with some companies that are local that make smoothies. You can do a joint partnership, whereas, you know, you're advertising. If you come to us on both your websites and socials, you guys share, you know, marketing material where when, you know, get a free membership after you buy a $20 coupon for juice or smoothies or vice versa. The gym's like, you know, get a free day trial and a membership. And a free like drink from this. So a lot of SEO and local side of things goes down to, you know, a lot of it is also offline. So you have to understand that not everything can just be like done via email. because these businesses and the Chamber of Commerce get thousands of emails, and a lot of them might be junk, just like our inboxes, right? So sometimes it goes beyond just sending them an email, maybe reaching out via phone, just kind of getting the lay of the land, or kind of making a presence, you know, or having the business owner, if you're not comfortable, it's letting them know that, hey, can you reach out to these people, you know, that are in your neighborhood? I think it would be a good place to kind of partner with them, providing them with all the material that you think would be useful for this partnership. So if you have any demo of graphics that you think would be beneficial, kind of working out a plan as far as, you know, you give one free drink and we'll give people that come here a free. So it has to be mutually beneficial for both businesses. That's one of the strategies that we use. Obviously, you can use PR, Newswire, and things for the for putting it out nationally. But again, for the local side of things, a lot of it, for us at least, has gone not just online, but it's also offline, where we are actively kind of making calls to a chamber of commerce or to a local business that we think. Obviously, we let our clients know that this is going to happen. So if they reach out, just let them know, yes, I authorized them. Because you don't want to make calls on behalf of your client without the client knowing. So just keeping those things in mind. But we've seen a lot of success doing things like that. A lot of our clients are automotive dealers, right? And they end up being in Chamber of Commerce. So just calling the Chamber of Commerce, making sure that we're in the directory, the links are working correctly. You know, if there's any event, kind of sponsoring those charity events. Getting tied into the social causes in your community that affect your community is a good way to go. Whether it's charity with, you know, stray dogs, or whether it's helping, you know, running an open clinic for the community, things like that. You want to kind of be able to put your face out in the community as often as you can. And that can only be done in addition to online, offline. Like, majority of the events, you have to show up. So that's how we've kind of understood or coach our clients into helping us help them get backlinks. You know, sometimes, like, going to an event, yeah, we'll send somebody from our team, but the client has to also be there, right? Somebody from them has to be there to explain the business better than a third party. And so,
yeah, I mean, one thing you said there that really resonated, and what most SEOs don't think about, is mutual beneficial. Mm-hmm. Now, I've said this for years and years and years, you know, but you know, you sit there in a room with lots of SEOs and they're doing link building and say, well, what's in it for them?
Yeah. Yeah.
You're asking, say, oh, look, you know, let's go down the usual boring pop. You know, I've noticed you've got a page on this and yeah, you've written yeah, this article, and wouldn't it be good if you mentioned it, blah, 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 blah. You know, mm-hmm, but they don't think about, well, what's in it for them? Mm-hmm. You know, taking the whole paid links thing out of the equation,
yeah, yep,
you know, because that's another minefield.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, you have to think, really, what's the mutual beneficial? And yeah, I often say, well, if you're a wedding planner,
mm-hmm,
in order to go to a wedding planner, what do you need to do first? Before that, you need mm-hmm to get engaged. Well, mm-hmm, in order to get engaged, you need rings.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you buy rings from? A local jeweler's.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and these are the sort of connections yeah that you're talking about, you know, and thinking about it. In a way, it's not really link building. Mm-hmm. It's just business relationships.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's essentially what it comes down to, is putting your face out there, putting your brand out there, making relations, networking, going to events that aren't specific to just one thing, right? It could be a charity networking event, going to things like that, where people over time, it's anything like advertising, right? You have to consistently be in front of your the people that you're trying to reach out to, in front of their faces. So just understanding that relates to business is that you have to do the same for your small business. You know, you have to go to events, or if you can't, you have to at least maybe sponsor an event, or maybe just kind of, you know, make a little donation or what have you, right? But end of the day, it is building that relation with your community and not just, you know, with other businesses in your niche, but kind of taking that wide local approach of community outreach instead of just kind of, oh yeah, you know, here's the article that, like you said, you know, works linked to it. Maybe not, because they get probably thousands, and our inboxes are full of people trying to sell us links. So it can be harrowing for a small business to even get another email like that. It's more so bringing that personal touch to anything that you do.
Yeah, and I think it's that connection with mutually finding the audience you want to speak to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, instead of, okay, oh, well, we, you know, as SEOs, we've got you a link on this website. It's really important. It's really authoritative. We've done lots of work. We've spent this and we've done this. But when you look at that website, the only people that's reading that website are your client's competitors, not your client's customers.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, totally true. It's you know, SEO is kind of, it's not easy. I don't want to use the word easy, but it's simple, but there's a lot of like human touch that goes behind what we're trying to do, especially when it comes to local SEO. You want to build your brand locally. So
exactly. Building a brand locally, not just traffic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and in order to do that, you have to what I call step out of thinking like an SEO.
Yeah, yeah. You have to put on your business owner hat, kind of, so to speak. And you know, one of the things is that a lot of people want to go into consulting, and it's a good way to kind of get into it. It is just, you know, when you have clients or if you're doing any kind of local SEO, you want to have a business owner's cap on, where you're trying to think about, you know, how does this directly or indirectly impact the client's bottom line? How do I help it raise it? A lot of SEO kind of gets lost in, you know, being able to directly tie it into return on investment a lot of times. But it's also kind of portraying a whole picture of where SEO plays part in their marketing channel. That is the key to kind of showing relevance and return on investment from SEO, taking marketing as a whole and what part SEO played in that marketing. Your content helped reduce your cost per click for these keywords that you already have content pieces around. Or, you know, we ran these campaigns on Facebook, had a corresponding landing page on the website that was for converting. So kind of showing that whole picture to clients would be a really good way to build relationship, one with the clients, but also helping them understand their business more from your expertise. So you want to have an exchange of information, where a dialogue where they understand, you understand what they're trying to achieve and they understand what you're trying to do to help them achieve that.
Yeah. And I do think often money comes into it, you know.
Yeah.
And I've often said to SEOs, okay, put a strategy together for this business. Say, okay, now rework that strategy as though it was your business spending your own money.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And suddenly when they start thinking, oh, well, would I actually pay $1,000 to do that? Well, no, I wouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's the context. It's making them important and feeling like they're part of the business. And I think only last week, you know, I had a client of mine who said, Mark, if I went on holiday for 2 months and just handed you the keys, what would you do?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's the sort of mindset. Obviously, they don't do that. And I wouldn't want them to, but, you know, it's just that sort of mindset
and to say, well, you know, you have to make everything work. Not yeah. everything will work because it connects with one thing and another.
Yeah.
But having, I don't like using holistic SEO, but having a full overview of the whole business and what other marketing they're doing around it and how what you're doing as an SEO can fit into them and vice versa, how they can work together.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, it's kind of funny that holistic's become kind of a bad term, but that's essentially it. It's integrated. You know, you don't want to have marketing that is doing different things and doesn't have a core goal. Like, it has to be integrated to what you're trying to achieve for the business, for, you know, the campaign that you're running, for having a successful relationship with the client. You have to kind of take that whole approach, take that, you know, broader picture into what you're trying to achieve. You know, when you outline a 3-month plan or a 6-month plan, you want to have that broader mindset, so to speak.
Yeah. Now, something I picked up on earlier in this conversation is you mentioned helping the businesses you work with in storytelling. What exactly did you mean by that?
So a lot of times what we've noticed is every business has a story. You know, you kind of have to pay attention to what exactly the client is trying to tell, right? And small businesses, they have stories, you know, that's unique to them, how they started, like, you know, the little chit-chat we did with how we started out, how I started my career as a first-gen immigrant into SEO. Kind of like that, you know, you understand that what was the reason that they decided to, you know, get into plumbing, for example. And I use plumbing just because it's, you know, the most widely used local business around. How did they get started? You know, what was one of the things that pushed them into getting into this field, getting into running their own business, if they had a job in this field before, or are they totally new? The reason people hire marketers is, one, obviously they're very knowledgeable in the way they can kind of help businesses, but it is the true art of storytelling is what successful marketers have. It's kind of taking the owner or the business's story and making it digestible to their target audience in a way that they understand that this isn't just a big plumbing corporation. It's, you know, your neighbor, or it's somebody whose child goes to school with your children. You know, they're part of the community. So understanding what makes them tick, taking that kind of output, tying that into everything we do, trying to tell their story to their audiences on why they should come to this business, or why they should utilize this plumbing service over the 10 plumbing services in the area. That is their unique point, right? And that is what we want to kind of highlight. And it goes beyond just having an about us page where you're like, oh yeah, he's got 3 dogs, 4 cats. Great, sounds good. But it's not really telling the audience, telling the clients why exactly they should go to this service. They've been a part of the community for 25 years. You know, they take part in charities that help elderly. They run a business or they, you know, have no charge policy for elderly people in the community. Things like that, you want to kind of tell their story to the audiences.
Yeah. Now, how do you get those stories out of the businesses? Because I know from my own personal perspective, if I ask them, well, do you have any stories? No, we've just been doing the same thing for the past 25 years. It's no different. We just do the same thing over and over again, type of thing. So, you know, because how do you, as a marketer, get those stories out of them?
So, you know, there's obviously different people are, there's so many shades of people, right? Their personalities, like I've run into people that are very unwilling to share stories, and that's fine. I mean, that's just the way they operate. But you can pick up some nuances when you, like, you know, one of the things that I like that you brought up in your career was you always ask questions. You know, you may seem annoying, and I would honestly just make a joke of it and tell the business owner, hey, you know, I may seem annoying now, but I just want to get to know your business better. So I'm not doing what we've been doing for 25 years, because if that was working, you wouldn't be having me here, right? So we're trying to make them understand that we both want to do better for them. And that only comes from them teaching us about their business. They may not go into a full spiel for an hour or something, but it might be like a 5-minute, 10-minute conversation where they just kind of, you know, recount things that they've done. One of the questions that I would ask based on the scenario that you brought up would be like, it would just be something simple like, what is the thing that you like that you've been doing in 25 years? And what is something that you didn't like? And is the reason that I'm here? And 9 times out of 10, when something that they like, they have to talk about what their previous agency did that they enjoyed or they thought was valuable for their business. And they have to tell you what they didn't like and what wasn't working. So those are also kind of stories that you want to bring out, you want to build on. When he'll tell you like, oh, I like XYZ campaign that we ran locally, you know, in partnership with a charity. Cool. What was, you know, what was the outcome from that campaign? Did it increase your sales in the months after? Or did you guys, you know, get a good kind of like PR, or your community knew more about you kind of a thing? What was something that you liked? And the things that they don't like, kind of furthering, you know, you want them to also strategically think and take them down that rabbit hole with you, because end of the day, when both of us are on the same page is when we're going to succeed. If they're not going to tell me the story, I'm just going to end up putting copy paste content or content that's not unique to them. Right. It's just kind of prodding. You know, there's no one way to get things to work for everybody. There are people that love to talk. On the flip side, you don't want them to keep talking for an hour, 2 hours, because you have work to do, right? And there's people that will like be like pulling teeth out, trying to get them to answer simple questions. So it's just, you have to play it by the ear. I wish there was a way I could say that, oh yeah, just do X, Y, Z and you're good. The only thing I can think of and say is that, you know, if you ask questions, be honest about it. Just kind of, you know, let them know the truth that, hey, I'll be annoying now, but it's better that I be annoying now than annoy you every day for the rest of our partnership. Let's just get it out of the way. Let me know some of these things that will help me be a better marketer for you.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of what you were saying there, I can personally resonate to, because as you said, I do like asking questions, and I like asking people to justify why they're thinking in that certain way. You know, is just sitting down and just pressing record and just talking. And I'm thinking, well, okay, will you describe your business to me as though I know nothing at all about your business or industry? And honestly, I'd say 95% of the time I've done that, there's always one or two golden nuggets come out of it.
Yep. It's just that active listening, right? You have to actively listen to when somebody's talking to you. I think that a lot of times we're so accustomed to just hearing people talk that people just mindlessly zone out. It's actively participating in the conversation. Like you said, you know, when you're asking them to justify, you also want to pay attention to what they're saying. Some of the things may be very generic, but there, like you said, there will be one point that, you know, you're like, oh, they never brought this up, or, you know, we're seeing this kind of correlate to why they weren't succeeding. Understanding that and bringing that to the forefront and utilizing that in your campaigns or for the client is the way to succeed.
Yeah, I was on a client call last week, and I was just saying, well, okay, we're doing this, but why are you putting all this together? He said, oh, because I want to move to the other end of the country. And when I do, I want someone to take this area over.
Oh, wow.
And honestly, it's like, well, okay, you haven't mentioned that before. And now we're putting a full strategy together to actually potentially franchise the business in the future. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so that way it's a whole different ball game.
Yep.
If we hadn't jumped on a call and talked about it and said, you know, how's your family? What's your gut? You know, not just, oh, well, these numbers and this graph is going up and blah, blah, blah. You know, I'd have never known that. And, you know, now the strategy we're implementing is tweaked. I wouldn't say it's totally changed. It's just tweaked in line for the future.
Yep. Yeah, future-proofing, you know, end of the day, you want to future-proof your business. But that's such a good point that you brought up because, you know, one of the things that my mother had told me, and I honestly, like when she said that, I never really believed it or, you know, really didn't have as much understanding or experience in it. But it's like, if you don't ask, you won't know. 9 times out of 10, whether it's negotiation, whether it's client call, I always ask because what's the worst that can happen, right? They'll be like, oh, we already told you this, or, you know, it's already in the document, or, you know, your onboarding should have it, what have you. But one time they'll tell you something that, you know, they failed to mention for myriad of reasons. It may just not have clicked to them at that point when they're filling it out because we're all human, right? We all go into our auto zone where we're just like automatically typing stuff up. We don't really think too much outside of it. But that is a whole part of it, right? Going back to a point a couple, like, you know, questions ago we talked about is going out of your comfort zone, just asking questions. You know, it's one of those things that I really now understand that, but it's just something that you have to do. You have to ask. You have to ask the whys. You have to ask the hows and, you know, what were the reasons, things like that you want to understand better. It will make you a better SEO, but it will most importantly make you understand the business more than from outside looking in. And any preconceived notions you have are thrown out the window because now this business, you realize, is unique and it's not generalized like we thought before getting into a partnership with them.
Yeah. I like also communicating and asking them, well, what difference is this going to make to you and your business and your family?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's just connecting with them and not to drive things out of them, but just to understand, you know, and I think once you're in that sort of environment with your clients, you know, it's not a case of the only time they hear from you is like 3 days before you're going to send your invoice.
Yes. Yeah. You know, some clients like that, but end of the day, you're right. It's for any business or any partnership to be successful, it is the keen interest. And honestly, it has to be a keen interest in them. Beyond like the revenue they're generating or signing of the checks, it's got to be, you know, understanding them. What makes a pick, you know, and that's one of the things where, yeah, you can tie it back into advertising, but it also makes you more relatable to the business owner. They value your opinion a lot more because, you know, maybe somebody didn't ask them before. The amount of times I've heard that being the first time somebody's ever asked them, it is astounding to me that because I know a lot of these businesses have had marketing agencies previously, have utilized consultants and things like that. But taking the time to truly understand what makes them tick, you know, like you said, like a small business owner, family is going to be important. The reason they went on their own is to provide better for the family than their circumstances. Kind of tying it into that, learning more about their family, you know, do the kids like soccer, do the kids like, and it doesn't have to do anything with marketing. Sometimes it's just, you know, just learning about a person. And that's interesting. You know, there's so many amazing qualities people have that are unique to them that you won't know if you actually don't take interest in them, learning about them and going beyond just business, you know. And I'm not saying that, you know, working at an agency, that is a lot of opportunity that you have. Sometimes that isn't, but any chance you get, just learning more about them, because it builds that trust, because now they trust you a little bit more than they did initially.
Yeah. Now, the time has rocked on. Now, is there anything we haven't spoken about yet that you really feel the audience needs to hear?
No, but I would just like to recap, or, you know, just kind of hit the points again, that one of the things that I believe that the biggest thing for anybody to be successful, not just in SEO, but in life or in their personal development as well, is just stepping out of your comfort zone. You know, just doing things that you may not be comfortable the first time, but over time it becomes easier as you continue to persevere there. So don't lose hope. I know with everything going on in SEO and the Google fiasco and the AIs and all of that, people are, you know, kind of hopeless, but a lot of times you just have to persevere, you know, step out of your comfort zone, do something to better yourself, take an interest outside of work, have a hobby, keep your mind kind of continuously growing and relaxed. But yeah, I think that's all we have. I don't think anything we've missed.
Now, what conversations would you like to have with people, and where can they find you?
So I will be speaking in New York at an SEO conference this 17th and 18th and 19th of this month. So anybody in New York, you know, you're more than welcome to come for the conference. I can give you guys discounted tickets. I am also just, you know, available via Twitter. It is Bozaperva is my Twitter handle. LinkedIn, I'm very frequently on LinkedIn. And, you know, if you want to get to know me on a personal side, Facebook, because I share a lot of pictures of my newborn, my 14-month-old son. And, you know, just pretty easy to get along with.
Brilliant. Well, many thanks for joining me today.
Thanks, Mark. I appreciate you having me.
You've been listening to the Unscripted SEO Interview Podcast with me, Mark A. Preston. Join us next time as I interview more top SEO professionals.